Welcome to Listen In. I'm Brian Gahan, and this podcast focuses on the stories that are buried deep inside all conversations. Be it the kind of conversation you have with someone whose life experience is full of interesting POVs and insights, or the kind of conversation you have inside your own head around your own life experiences. Today in episode 22, I thought it was time to get outside in nature, bring back Michelle from Mystic Maps, and talk about the pandemic and what it might be teaching us about the new consciousness and being on the cusp of the age of Aquarius. I invite you to open your heart and mind and discover if there is anything you can take away from this interesting conversation that will help you or a loved one as we all transition through this global time of change. Well, hi, Michelle. Welcome back to Listen In.
It's nice to be back. Hi, Brian.
It's nice to see you in person in this beautiful park outside with the birds and the sirens and all the other things going on today.
It's nice to be let outside.
Yes. So just to timestamp this, it's almost the end of June 2020, and we're still living through the pandemic and the releasing of the restrictions. And so now we're in a park, socially distanced, having a conversation. It's as good as it gets.
That's about it.
Yeah. So I wanted to chat with you. In my previous episode, I was talking about some of my own personal observations and ways of dealing with the pandemic and some of the change and transformation that's going on around us. And I thought it would be great to have you back and have a conversation with you about some of the tips, tools, tricks that you use with your clients and with yourself personally in navigating these types of change, because you've been doing this for a very long time.
Well, thanks for asking me about that. And it was there's been a lot of growth, I think, for many people. I know that when the pandemic hit, I had to do a lot of, I don't know what the word is, Brian. I think for the first few weeks, to be honest, I was in a bit of a daze, a little bit of a state of shock. Some of it was around watching certain industries basically collapse across the country. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, I come from a theater background, and I remember one day in early March, every Canadian theater in the country basically announced they were closing for their entire season. And I think just for people seeing their industries basically collapse, it was mournful and sad and frightening. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie to you, I shut down for a little while just to retreat and let myself feel all the feelings till I was done. Do you want me to carry on sharing the process, how I came out on the other side?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was winter, and we were basically told to shelter in place and to avoid leaving our home unless absolutely necessary, pick up groceries and things like that.
Right, yeah.
And then May came around, and the weather began to turn, and we had signs of spring and new life, and people started heading out of their homes in droves. And I noticed in my case that really corresponded with me. I felt a need to leave home. And suddenly what I noticed, having been shut in for weeks and weeks, was the work that I wanted to do was now dependent upon the weather. So when I had, for instance, scheduled client sessions, let's say I scheduled them all on a Friday, and now Friday comes around and it's the first sunny day that we've had in 2 weeks after 2 weeks of rain,
right,
I came to an understanding that I might need to restructure how I meet my clients if I'm still going to make the most of the weather.
Right.
Because suddenly I was like a puppy dog. I want outside. Can you hear that?
Yeah, that puppy dog is perfect timing.
Exactly. So that actually got me thinking about other ways that I could make some changes to the way that I work with my clients. But first I had to recognize I needed to do some additional work on myself to get myself out of the haze and the daze of the shock of this is an enormous global event that none of us has ever lived through. And I gave myself some advice that I would give to my clients. I started taking my own advice.
And what was that?
So one of the things I realized was in a 7-day week, after a few weeks of drifting and allowing myself to say, I don't even know what day this is, or I don't know what time it is, and who cares? I realized I want something to anchor me. Mm-hmm. So pick a day of the week to anchor, to make it this thing always happens on a Sunday, for instance, like Sunday dinner.
Right.
You know, something that makes this day, sets it apart from other days. I felt I needed something to anchor, like a good Saturn landmark of the week. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was talking with somebody yesterday, and these are just some of the things that have happened. Like people, you know, dress up on Fridays for dinner. And then a friend of mine yesterday said, yeah, I'm thinking of getting some, like, you know, inexpensive evening gowns and things to take the garbage out each weekend, right? So you get dressed up to go to the end of your driveway and take the garbage out. And these types of things are as you say, is the expansion of, you know, we don't have to be stuck in that routine of normalcy that's dragged so many people down. Now we can explore different ways of doing things. And if you can walk around this planet with a mask on and avoiding humans and jumping off of sidewalks when they go by, there's nothing else you can do that's stranger than that, right?
I agree.
So now you can dress up in a costume or you can do other things and people will just go, yeah, it's the pandemic. Stuff's changing.
Yeah, stuff is changing. And a lot of it is actually very exciting to see. People are responding with open hearts to all kinds of very pressing situations. And I didn't know there could be such a trend towards heart-opening experiences. I certainly understood that our world is at a moment and a huge fork in the road. And I really was thinking, well, which way are we going to go?
Yeah.
Are we going down the dystopian path? Or are we finally on the path to the age of Aquarius that we have all been hearing about? The massive outpouring of support and love and appreciation for humans in need, and then the reemergence of Black Lives Matter shows me that I think we are very firmly along that path of the golden age, which is, if we're going to go there, the age of Aquarius. Aquarius is about vibration, right? And the symbol for Aquarius is two squiggly lines representing vibration. Mm-hmm. And that's what the new consciousness is explaining, that everything is vibration. So you can, at will, change your vibration.
Okay, so this is a great jumping off point, because I've been wanting to talk about the new consciousness, but I also want to, you know, when you say you can change your vibration, okay, so explain to me and to the listeners, okay, how?
Okay, so it's really so much simpler than physics goes on about, and I'm a physics geek. It's really simple, Brian. Your feelings, your emotions are your human barometer, okay? And your body, when you have physical sensations like butterflies in your stomach, or you get that awful feeling at the back of your neck, your body is a truth teller and delivers information for you. And it's not that hard to decode. Body feels good. This thing I'm doing is right. Body feels bad. It's telling me, don't go there. And that is, those are your landmarks to your vibration. Your vibration is nothing more than how are your little molecules and atoms interacting with each other, and how Do you align with the truth of who you are? Do you act in accordance with who you really are? Or do you keep trying to be who you're not? Then
right.
you're out of alignment. Then your vibration is not coherent.
Right.
It lacks a resonant pattern. And when that's the case, you can't manifest anything. There's nowhere in your matrix, your energy field, for something to hook in and manifest, because you don't have any coherence.
Right.
When you are in alignment with yourself, you can feel it. You don't have to say, how come I feel so great? You just accept that you feel great. Your vibration, when you feel great, your vibration is high. Let's
right.
just call it a rapid high vibration. You're operating at a fairly enlightened level.
Okay, so that all makes sense to me, but I'm just going to want to break that down a bit and go, okay, so most of us are numb to how we feel. Like if you were to ask the average North American, you know, caught up in the rat race, how do you feel, they'd be, I'm stressed. So like there is no time as a reference point to go, that's my body feeling good. Because my body always feels a bit worn out. My body always feels tired. I always feel a little sick to my stomach. I'm always stressed, et cetera, et cetera. And so how does somebody, you know, tap into that if they're all the way over there? And then that's going to lead me to the question around, you know, has this pandemic kind of broken the shell of that for some people, where they've now had a chance to go, I'm able to feel differently. I'm still scared. I'm still afraid of the future. I still don't know what's going on in this world, but I've also been able to learn to bake bread or something, and it's brought me joy or whatever. But anyways, just maybe continue from there, knowing that, you know, from the person's point of view of when you say your body will tell you, what if your body is always just so far over on that shut down or survival mode or freeze mode?
That's a really important question, which brings me to the word embodiment. If you are not in your body, because all you do is buy into this story about Western civilization and culture, this story about a rat race. And that's the way life is. And we go off to some job we hate Monday through Friday, and we sit in a cubicle and stare at a blue screen for 9 hours a day, and it sucks, but that's life. That's a story, and it's a bad story and an old one.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're living from that place, no, you're not going to find yourself connecting with the information from your body. Well, you're going to feel it. As you say, yeah, my stomach will feel off all the time, or I always feel this way, or whatever. Well, yeah, you're hearing your body signals. You're simply refusing to say, what's that?
Right.
What's that, body? Why are we feeling this way? You are absolutely right that this pandemic broke through all of the automatic behavior that we all call normal.
Mm-hmm.
It broke it. So no one was allowed to leave home. I mean, imagine that. If you're a person that is used to living at a certain level of stress on a regular basis, so much so that you don't even call it stress anymore. You just think that's life. That's
right.
Normal. Imagine if you are basically told you have to stay home. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to go, thank goodness I needed off this treadmill? Or are you going to say, well, now what? Who am I without my rat race? And this is what people struggled with. I find it hard to relate to that, because my life has always been off the beaten path.
Right.
You know, I never had that Monday through Friday thing. But I understand for people in that world, that was a massive jumping off into the unknown, and it was frightening.
Right, yeah.
But they finally got to hear what their bodies were telling them. And they finally got to hear themselves say, I feel sad.
Mm-hmm.
Not, how are you feeling? I'm stressed. Just, I feel sad. Or, I'm mourning. I'm mourning the loss of seeing my friends in person. People were finally starting to connect with their feelings and name them.
Right, right. That's a good point. Yeah. It was sad. I'm lonely. I need a hug. I need human contact. Like, they started to understand what they needed, and none of it was the rat race, you know? It wasn't, I mean, they thought, and I mean, there was that language of, we have to get back to normal. Like, let's get back to the rat race, assuming that it would check those boxes of seeing people and having friends and having human contact and et cetera, et cetera. But at no point in time were people really going, I want to go back to that level of stress. No, that's really interesting.
People are now considering different options. Like, perhaps I could find a balance. Perhaps we've discovered that I'm not needed at an office mm-hmm. 5 days a week, that they can actually do without me when I'm working remotely. I enjoy having more time with my family. Those are some of the stories. Other people are saying, you know, yes, I could use more income. This feels unsure. I feel unsure. This feels unsteady. I don't know where this is leading, but I'm okay with not quite knowing yet.
Mm-hmm.
People are becoming more open to something new that they don't even yet know what that could look like.
Right.
But I appreciate that they're saying, let's just see where this goes.
Right. Right. So back to the Aquarian vibration and increasing our vibration. So you explained it to listening to the body, using it as a barometer to how your vibration and work at trying to increase your vibration.
Raise it.
Raise your vibration. And so talk to me more about that and the consciousness and that sort of thing around the individual.
Okay, so why is raising your vibration a good thing? Because you are nothing but pure consciousness that is in this moment experiencing itself as a human that you call Brian.
Right.
But if you take the Brian, you know, human suit away, you're simply a being of light with way more scope than one would imagine being trapped in this physical body.
Right.
We, up until the new consciousness started to really take a hold, generally people were taught that you live in this body and then you die and you leave your body. And what happens after that is up to you. Whatever you believe, either nothing happens and there's just, you know, it's like going to sleep and never waking up, or you leave your body, there's a spark of you that leaves your body and goes somewhere else. But these are stories that we kind of have made up, and nobody ever really comes back to report, well, I checked it out for you all, and I'm back to tell you, here's what it's like. Right?
Are you sure? Because I see some of those people on the internet.
Well, then it must be real.
Yes.
What we are learning now is that when you're living with a vibration that's raised enough, you don't need to experience things like lack. And you don't need to experience deterioration of the physical body. The cells in your body actually heal and stop degenerating when you live in a space of joy and love, and generally in a place of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds insane, but how could we know that if we're never in a world where we have that space and time to discover what joy and happiness feels like at a sustained level. I'm not talking about, hey, I had a day last week that was really great. I'm talking about a sustained level of harmony and happiness.
Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation the other day with someone, and you know, we were talking about the economy and the fact that the economy has been based on consumerism, right? And so if we were to have an economy based on something other than consumerism, what would that look like? And is that even possible, right? And so I just threw out the question of, what if our economy was based on human joy, lack of suffering, happiness, and well-being? And you know, can we get to a point where it becomes something as insane as that? Meaning like that, you know, like we talk about money and transaction and consumer goods and that's the definition of economy. But could we have a system based on something that gives value to, instead of the value of gold, for example, being what money's based on, the value of human joy, happiness, and lack of suffering?
Why not? And of course, that's the only way I can answer that. Of course, I think that is possible. And at the same time, like you, I don't really know what that would look like in practice, because we've never had that.
Right.
We don't come from that system. But that system, mark my words, is going away. And I think we can feel it now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's the funny thing about when you're on the cusp of a new age. A cusp isn't a quick thing.
No.
We're still about 100 years away from what you're describing. But we can now envision it. Whereas 20 years ago, when I thought, really? We're really going to one day have an age of Aquarius, are we? Really? Because I don't know about that. Now I feel it's within sight.
Right.
100 years-ish from now, which is not that bad.
Well, things like this pandemic kind of like they catapulted it a little bit, right? Like they kind of throw us forward and then we scramble backwards and then they throw us forward again. And so I think that, you know, in the United States with Barack Obama was a perfect example. Everybody thought, you know, oh, we've got our first black president, therefore racism's over. And all of a sudden Donald Trump came along and they learned very quickly that no, there's actually a ton of it. And now they can start to talk about it in language that helps it start to go away, like things like systemic racism and anti-racism, and they start to use language as opposed to just the black and white word of racism. And so, you know, you can start to see it unfolding. So if you take that 10-year period of time, you would say, wow, there is going to become some really powerful improvement. But if you go back even 2 years, you would have said, oh my gosh, it's all coming down. It's all coming back. Here's all these people in the mainstream that are doing all sorts of horrible things. You know, like Trump's created all this horrible stuff. And so, I mean, I think even Eckhart Tolle at one time was talking about, you know, we're going through a bit of a dark period again before the light period when that all happened in 2016. So what I'm sort of getting at is that 100 years, you know, it seems to happen in these little lightning bolts in these kind of increments of time.
Mm-hmm.
But as you say, if you look back and go 20 years ago, a lot has changed.
We've taken a massive leap in a short period of time, which is positive. And I'm going to, at the risk of sounding like a Pollyanna, I'm going to say that it's really important that we are aware of the polarity. So if we could say one virtue of having someone like a Donald Trump in a position of power and leadership, a virtue of hearing his language, which sounds to my ears misogynist, racist, white privileged. I will say that the only virtue around that is it really reveals to us so that we cannot pretend there isn't a problem right. with racism. We have to see it. And seeing it like that, then we must address it. And now it is incumbent upon white people to address it within themselves, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm hearing from people in the Black Lives Movement the same kinds of things that I heard in the feminist movement.
Right.
Like 20 years ago. Don't make me responsible for educating you about how to be a better human being.
Right.
You take that on yourself.
Right.
Right? So where are we going with this duality that people, leaders like Mr. Trump, highlight, like, oh, look at that. There really is a great deal of polarity still to overcome and integrate. That's what raising your vibration is about. It's about the integration as opposed to insisting that something is this or that, literally black or white, is understanding there's a spectrum and to integrate all aspects of yourself. And to look at all the colors of all the humans and go, there's only one race.
Right.
That's the human race, which has different colors. And that's great.
Yeah.
It's like birdies.
Yeah.
You know, imagine that. Imagine breaking birds down into their color groups because right. some colors are better than others.
Yeah.
It's absurd, isn't it?
It is. It's crazy. It's crazy. That's an interesting thing because when we talk about increasing consciousness and the way that you just describe that around how you can then become a better human being, I was listening to Sadhguru, who was talking about the concept of, you know, what we do to animals in order to eat them and what we do to other types of animals that we love and call our pets. And he was, because of the pandemic, he was using the example of, you know, because of the machinery of, let's say, the poultry industry, or they just had to slaughter all of these animals because we can't keep feeding them, but there's no one, you know, no one's buying them, and et cetera, et cetera. And how they went about doing it was extremely, extremely inhumane. And so he was describing that as like, if you can do that to a being and then not do that to other beings, you're at a certain level of consciousness. And so as your consciousness increases, all of a sudden you start to go, holy cow, that's not cool, right? Like it's that's not fair. We need to treat all animals with a certain, you know, level of respect for their being. And it's interesting because I'm going to do another episode around becoming a vegetarian, and a lot of it had to do with something similar to that. But I thought that was an interesting way of, I guess what I'm trying to, what I'm asking from someone like yourself is, you know, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius and we're raising our consciousness and we're raising our vibrations. And it's like, but give me practical examples, right? And you've done that. And I appreciate that. And he did that with this concept around vegetarianism, where he brought it just to this point of, you know, you're, whether or not you believe it's right or wrong, if you understand that they're equal beings, your consciousness has been raised. And it's so it becomes an awareness that we just become more aware, and therefore that's how you know your consciousness is your vibration is rising. You know,
that's one way you can know. There are so many ways that you can check in with yourself to find out, where's my vibe at?
Right.
How am I feeling? Oh, I feel neutral. Oh, okay. Well, at least I'm not emitting vibes of anger or whatever. It's for me, it's about the things that used to trigger you that could set you off.
Mm-hmm.
They have less charge or they have no charge. Then
right.
You think, golly, look at me, I'm growing. You know, that to me, those are little report cards on how am I doing.
Right.
And I am also a very big believer in fact, if it became a coping mechanism with the pandemic around, so when I open my eyes first thing in the morning, and I'm like, who am I? Where am I? Where have I been? What's going on? My eyes are glued. I don't get out of bed until I have fully come back into my body. And how I help get myself back in my body is by 10 deep breaths while I'm doing affirmations in my mind. So that, and these affirmations are more like about, again, it's about ensuring that I can sustain a high enough vibration through the day. So I will say things like, I am my beingness.
Right.
So do you know what I mean? Because what is that beingness? It's a very esoteric, it's just me acknowledging to myself that really there is no personality. There is no real Michelle.
Right.
Those are just set pieces and wardrobe pieces and scripts and characters. But underneath that, there is just this being, and I am my beingness. And I try to just allow myself to stay in a state of simplicity. It helps keep me more focused and helps keep me in a place of joy. So I don't even get out of bed until I've done those 10 deep breaths along with some affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, when I don't do it, I notice a difference. Because I started to experiment. I thought, well, I feel really good with these. This is a really cool thing. Why have I not been doing this all my life? These affirmations before getting out of bed. So I did an experiment a few times, and I would get out of bed without doing it. So in other words, I would revert
right.
to my unconscious behavior and my automatic isms, all
right.
my habits. And I didn't like those days. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the way they started. I didn't like the way they played out, and I didn't like them at the end.
Right.
But I chose to experiment. And what a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that just resonates and becomes part of your awareness of how you need to operate to be the best person and the best self you can be.
Can I interrupt you
yeah.
for a second? Because there's something else to that, Brian. The reason why this sprung up for me during the pandemic is because now I am in my home with my partner, and it's the two of us. And now I have to think about, well, how's my energy
right.
from my partner who's stuck with me?
Yeah.
Who would normally be let out of the house and go off to do his work and stuff like that. So how am I showing up for my partner?
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to be under the same roof all day, then I want to make sure I'm showing up with a good enough vibration.
Right.
Because this is a hard time. It's hard enough without being a wretched person on top of it.
Right.
Because at some point we have to sort of go, yeah, we're living in an extraordinary moment and we can all say that it's the pandemic. But at some point then we have to pull our power back into ourselves and say, okay, at what point am I going to stop blaming the external? And bring it back to, I'm responsible for my behavior. I'm responsible for the vibe that I emit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really valid. That's very valid. Because a lot of people are still externalizing it. And I think that this has been probably the best. Like, you know, like a lot of people will go away to a retreat for a week or something like that and come back and feel completely different. And we've kind of been in this other type of retreat for 4 months now, right? It's like pretty epic. So tell me about, you know, like, let's just say if we could break it down to like, you know, it can be 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know. I'm going to say 5 right now, but give me like 5 kind of tips or whatever for people to just sort of like maybe help rebalance or recalibrate themselves during this time.
My biggest tip is get into your body, come back into your body, do it. Walk. I will always remember, what was his name? Thomas More, I believe. Care of the Soul, a book that I read decades ago. And the author said, walking is one of the best things you can do. He said, no, it's not about running. This is not a jogging. This is not a physical fitness thing. It is walking. And especially if you walk with your partner. There is something about the rhythm of the walk that invokes conversation, especially conversations that could in other situations be difficult to have.
Right.
But the being in your body and walking and having this rhythm, and the heartbeat gets a little bit, the heart gets its own, a little bit of cardio, and the swing of the body raises your vibration and pulls you into your body. And this is the irony of it. The more in your body and grounded in your body you are, the higher your vibration. There's a type of spiritual tension yoga there. If you can imagine, you know, your feet grounded and drawing this beautiful energy up from Mother Earth. And at the same time, drawing down this incredible light from our sun that goes through the crown chakra and right down your spinal column. Like, it's about being in our body. And why do I find that so amazing? Because those of us that come from a religious background where there was dogma, the dogma was all about how bad the body is.
Right.
The body is bad. You've got to transcend the body. This is absolutely backwards. This is backwards. You be in your body, which is actually a point of awareness and an enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest piece, Brian, is the more you experience the physicalness of you.
Right.
Especially now that we have access to nature and we can get outdoors and into parks, the more you are with the trees and the birds and as much water as you can get, the better it is for your vibration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's great. That's number one.
That's number one.
Capital number one.
Capital number one. Number two. We know what the news is. Is there really such a big change from one day to the next? Reduce the amount of time you spend. Don't have that news channel on. I know there are people, I think it is a generational thing. People a generation older than us who come from, I don't know why, but that CNN or that Fox or whatever news channel, CTV, on all day long. No.
Yeah.
Turn it off. You need 5 minutes a day to go, oh, look, guess what? Nothing happened that didn't happen already. Great. Yeah. Wake me up when something new is going on. Like, hey, they've declared peace all over the world.
Well, it's funny that you say that because years and years and years ago, there was a guy that I worked with who was all about positive mental attitude. And he refused to promote reading the newspaper. So he used to come to these seminars and he'd cut all the headlines out of the newspaper and he'd have like 100 of them. And he'd say, there's one positive headline. All the rest are negative. And at that time, he said to us, he said, trust me, if something big happens in the world, somebody will tell you. And other than that, don't bother reading the news, listening to the news, because it's so negative. And so I started to do that. And I realized that he was right, because I could walk by newspaper boxes and I could see headlines, so I knew that Princess Di had died. Do you know what I mean? I knew that, you know, and I even got to the point that I would say to my friends, like, you know, I saw somebody on the front page of the newspaper, and depending on who they were and where, what stage of life they were in, I could guess whether they had, you know, died or whatever and stuff like that. And but when it really drove its point home to me was with 9/11. I was out running, and I'm running down this street, you know, tree-lined street, beautiful early morning. Well, not early morning, but like around whatever time that all happened, between 9 and 10. But for me, I was in the advertising business, so that was early for me. And this guy in a pickup truck pulls over, and he rolls down his passenger window and screams across his truck cabin out to me and says, "Hey, did you hear a plane flew into the World Trade Center?" And like that to me was like, yes. So if something major happens, you will be made aware.
Indeed.
And all the other stuff is just noise and negativity and just completely unnecessary to take into your consciousness. And so, yeah, that's a great, great tip.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yes. And along those lines, the corollary is social media. Get off Facebook. Get off Twitter. No, I mean it. Brian, I cannot get over this is how we get out of our bodies.
Right.
If you want to stay in a position of just pure automatic with no consciousness and no awareness of what you're doing, then hook into Facebook and hook into Twitter and stay there. They really are their own universes.
Right.
But what I see is so much aggression, the way that people talk to each other, the arguments over the mask, not to mask, to stay indoors, to not stay indoors. People that like each other having these wretched disagreements. I know that I started to feel anxious just reading what other people were spewing.
Yeah.
And I made a decision. No, I'm leaving. I'm leaving Facebook. That's it, Facebook. You and I are done. It's you, not me. And I'm breaking up with you. Don't do it to yourself. If you're on a social platform where people are aggressive, where they somehow feel it's okay to basically flip the bird to each other verbally, and they don't even know each other, this is really ugly. Like,
yeah.
You don't need that in your consciousness either.
Mm-hmm.
This is food. You're taking in people's words, you know? And I've got to say this. Words, they're spells. I think, you know, we might have touched on this before. There's a reason we call it spelling.
Right.
When we spell a word, we are spelling. We are making a spell. I don't feel like reading other people's nasty, ugly, hateful spells. It gets into me and it feels like it sticks to me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm going to say, get off your social platforms. You don't need more than 5 minutes a day on that.
Right. Yeah.
That's not where your world is. Go find the trees. That's your world.
Right. Yeah, no, that's so true. It's so true. Get out, get under a tree, walk in the trees. It's so, like 20 minutes a day, they've proven scientifically that it helps people's, like they did a thing with a test and, you know, I think I've talked about this on another episode, but they walked some people from a building through a concrete jungle to another building to do a test. And they walked another group of people through a park to do the test. And the people who went through the park all did better on this test and vice versa when they flipped it the other way around. So, yeah. So nature is a real healer and it's important to be in nature. So, sorry, was that number three, social media?
Yes. That was the third one. So my first one was get into your body, get walking.
Yeah.
And use this time, like walk with your friends. If that's your social time, do it. If that's how you see your friends, nurture those and understand that whereas we all used to get together in restaurants, you know, on patios and indulge in yummy food and maybe some wine, it's a bit expensive, right?
Yeah.
There's something quite lovely about, well, we just got together to walk.
Yeah.
There was no food or alcohol. Look at that. We still had a great time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Go back to some basics. It feels really good. So those were my be in your body.
Yeah.
With the walking, get off the social media, get off the news cycle. And I'm going to return to have an anchor, something that helps you feel anchored in your week.
Right.
A certain day or a certain ritual that tells you, that helps you locate yourself specifically in time and space. Because for a few weeks, we were really not located. We were all completely unplugged from everything that we knew. And I think that created a wave of shock.
Yeah.
That some people still haven't come out of it.
Right, right. No, that's really good advice. That's great advice. And I think that you can also do it down into simple, like you can find, like you say, you find a day that anchors you, like one day a week, but then you also can find like a minute a day that anchors you, which you talked about your affirmations in the morning, right? So if you can find those little anchors and go and acknowledge them as that.
Yeah.
So some of us are doing it, but we're doing it unconsciously. We don't even know that those are our anchors and we're not acknowledging it. But if you can acknowledge it, it brings it into another level of being, another level of awareness where you're like, no, 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 this is what I'm doing. These affirmations are making me have and set myself up for a better day.
Well, what you're saying right now is you're basically paraphrasing part of Eckhart Tolle's message,
right,
which is, be aware that you're being aware.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Because yeah.
Then, again, that's just, yes, we can do things naturally. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's good and useful to know, oh, I'm doing this, which means I have choice.
Mm-hmm.
I choose this for myself.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you put out was that thing where you said, like, nobody ever comes to me saying, why is everything going so well?
It's true. Never. No one has ever shown up when I say, so, why, you know, why are you here? Why did so-and-so recommend you see me? Well, it's just all been going so well. And I don't know what to do about it.
But it's true. I mean, I think, yeah, we aspire for this time, or we aspire for things to be going well. But we don't ever really even acknowledge the pieces that are. And so it's like somebody comes to you and it's like, yes, yeah, but this is the thing that's wrong. You know, like this is the thing that's wrong. And I mean, that's the addiction to the news media, because they're going to constantly remind you what's wrong. And I think that, you know, this pandemic has given us a lot of downtime to look at our lives and see what is going well and what are the things that we can do that we have control over, that we have autonomy over, that isn't something that can be taken from us, because everything is right now feels like it is up for grabs and can be taken from us. So you can't take my tree away from me. You can't take my nature away from me. You can't take my body away from me. I'm, you know, so all of these things that you've come up with are great, I think, advice.
You can't take my inner world
right
away from me. You cannot take my consciousness, my vibration. So what's all going on in here in the privacy of my own inner world, you can't have it. You can't take it away from me. And I'm sorry to say this, but we do live in a world where there have been a lot of attempts to keep us in a state of fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intentional thing.
Yeah.
Right? So when we talk about the system is broken, no. The system's not broken. The system was built that way. That's
right.
How the system's built.
Yes.
It's not broken. It is rigged. It's rigged against you.
Right.
You're meant to live in a state of fear. That's what the news cycle is about. When you live in a state of fear, Brian, well, the only thing that's going to fix it is if you buy that shiny thing that advertiser's telling you you need. You see, so we get milked out of not only our good feelings about being alive, but we get milked out of our money because now we don't feel good about who we are, and only that shirt is gonna fix it, or that car. This is such a lie, right?
Yeah.
So if you own your vibration and your inner consciousness and your world, no one can take that from you. And then regardless of what's happening external, the only thing that's real is what's happening inside your system.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic advice. Wow. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for letting me come back.
Yeah, of course. I love having you on. It's always insightful. And at this particular junction in humanity's, you know, moment, I thought it would be great to just touch base with you. But I think that's like, I really love how simple you made that, and the getting into the body is... And the reasons for that, I think, is so valuable for people to hear right now. So again, thank you so much, Michelle.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Before we go, I want to send out Michelle's touch point. The best place to connect with her is her website, which is at mysticmaps.co. That's mysticmaps.co. Well, that's another episode of Listen In. Thanks for being. Please subscribe, leave comments, or head on over to our website at listeninpod.com. That's listen with two N's, pod.com, where you'll find episode notes, links to anything that we talked about in this episode, and you can connect with us about being a guest on Listen In.